We've been in a little bit of a series, and I hope you've been enjoying it. It's, you know, kind of been built on my pain, so I hope you've enjoyed that. I'm excited tonight because this is one of those messages. If I was to define this as something you would drink tonight, it would be moonshine. It's going to be really hard to swallow. And here's what I'm doing, and I hope you understand what I'm doing in this series. Actually, right now, what I'm doing is I'm actually digging a hole, and I'm exposing some stuff. And you may not even have some of this stuff, but I'm exposing some stuff, and I'm getting the soil ready to, just a couple of weeks, I'm going to begin to fill that hole with greater levels of your identity. You're going to begin to really discover who you are. And so, as I said earlier, this is one of those messages that has come out of about probably 4 or 5 months of just the Lord searching my heart and doing some stuff in my own life. And the good thing about tonight is you know, when you preach this or teach this kind of message, you get a little hesitant. And the Lord said, don't worry about it because everybody in the house deals with this. So just get rid of your personal shame. Get rid of personal guilt. There's no condemnation. But what I'm going to be talking about tonight, every one of us have dealt with. And some of us may still be dealing with some of it. And the thing about this topic tonight is you can really bury it. You can bury it and think it's gone. And in a moment, there can be a trigger or there can be something that you see or something that happens that instantly reminds you that this thing that you thought you got rid of is actually still there. And so I've never seen myself probably, you know, battle this until probably 2019 and all the way through, you know, 2021 because of what was happening in our society, what was happening within the body, what was happening. And so it's I'm not going to be teaching from my feelings, but I am going to be teaching from my conviction of the Lord saying this is something that has to be really dealt with in the body of Christ, and not just our church, but I believe it's a plague that has shown up in the body of Christ. And so we're in this series on carrying heaven. And I said this before, you know, we've heard the saying, you're so heavenly minded, you're no earthly good. I believe we can become so earthly minded, we're no heavenly good. I really believe that. I believe we make allowances for being more worldly and fleshly driven than we do spiritual. And when we run into spiritual people that are super spiritual and all they want to talk about is Jesus, we kind of call them quacks. And I'm just being honest with you. I grew up, when I first got saved, everybody said, yeah, you need to calm down because you're just a little too radical. People are not going to receive you. They're not going to respond to you because I just couldn't stop talking about Jesus because of what he had done in my own life. And so some of you have that same testimony. And the series comes out of Luke 17, 20, 21. I'm going to start with this scripture, and it's not going to be up there. So hopefully you've brought it up in your phone or you've got notes. Hopefully you're taking notes. It says, this says, now when he was asked by the Pharisees when the kingdom of God would come, he answered them and said, the kingdom of God does not come with observation. This is the church asking Jesus when the kingdom is coming. And here's the thing about it. The kingdom already was there and they missed it. And I think if we're not careful, we can get to a place where we spend our time looking for something and the reality of what we're wanting is not out there. It happens to be right here. And so Jesus gives this brilliant, you know, this follow-up with, hey, you're looking at the wrong thing. You're actually thinking that, you know, hey, they will say there it is or here it is or whatever. And then he says, for indeed the kingdom of God is within you. And I want to leave you with this thought. In order to really discover the fullness of the kingdom, and that word means the king and his domain. That's what it means. It means his power and his authority. That word domain means complete, and it means absolute. If you want to discover the absolute and complete power of the kingdom, it first comes with the discovery of the king. It begins in here. It does not begin out here. What happens in here is what creates the fruit out here. It's true. because I've seen people have a lot out there and it end in bad fruit because nothing was happening correctly in here. We can do things, you can be gifted and do things in the flesh. When God gives you a gift, it's a gift. I mean, if you go back and look at Elvis and all these great, some of these great rock stars, some of those guys grew up in church singing worship songs. There was an anointing on their voice that they choose to use for something else. It's true. That's just the way God is. He's not an Indian giver. When he gives us something, he gives it to us. And so in order for us to discover that, God says, you need to be looking inward to see what the King looks like inside of you. And that's where this came from. So we've talked about the power of the Father's love. That's where we started. And we started there for this reason. Until you get the foundation of your life built and established on the Father's heart towards you, it's going to be almost impossible for you to embrace the fullness of what the kingdom looks like. And we call this church Beloved Company because we wanted everything we do, every gift, whether it's prophetic, word of knowledge, healing, deliverance, whatever it is, we want it being loved as the foundation of those gifts flowing. In our worship, in our activity, in our gatherings, in our communities, we want people to feel the love of Father through us. So we laid this foundation. The second thing we talked about was negativity. And negativity is a very powerful thing. The third thing we talked about is the mind and the mouth. The mind and the mouth are meant to match. Right? Do you ever hear somebody talk one way and you go, you're not anything like that. Who are you talking about? That ain't you. And so these are main subjects that I felt like the Lord was saying, hey, what you're coming into, I want to reveal some things. I want to dig up some things and show you some things that are going to be crucial for you to take care of if you really want to step in to this exposure of the kingdom. And I believe there's an incredible exposure of the power of the kingdom of God coming on this earth, in churches around the world, in church, this church and other churches. It's coming. And the Lord's not saying we're not fit or we're not worthy, but he does want us to be aware of things that will help protect us, keep our hearts in the right position. It's preventive medicine is what it is. But the reality about this subject is it's very real. And it's very real to you and it's very real to me. So let me just say this for the record. I'm in no way trying to accuse you, offend you, discourage you in any way. But I am going to unpack and reveal this spirit. Is that okay? And then we're going to get you free. Yeah, the two people that think they have it, but everybody else says, yeah, okay, I don't know. What am I saying yes to, you know? So anyway, I want to talk to you about the power of offense. Really quiet now. I love it. Let's start with a real quiet service. And I'm just telling you, this has come from a personal battle for me. And the hardest thing, the best kind of message to speak is a message that you've experienced. Right? But sometimes the message that you experience that you want to speak is a real hard message to give because it can be received incorrectly. And so I've kind of been walking this out. And this scripture, I love it. It says Luke 7:23, and this is the English Standard Version. Jesus said, and blessed, supremely, this word blessed means supremely bliss, happy, fortunate, and well off is one who is not offended by me. I'm going to unpack that. I'm going to unpack this thing of being offended by him and what that looks like. Because I think we've misunderstood what this verse means. The Amplified, which you've probably got up there, says, and blessed, happy, with life, joy, and satisfaction in God's favor and salvation, apart from the outward conditions, and to be envied is he who takes no offense of me or in me, and who is not hurt or resentful or annoyed or repelled or made to stumble. Watch this last little phrase in the Amplified, because if you look in the original language, it ends with this phrase, whatever may occur. So listen to this. We can be offended at him personally, or there can be something that happens in here that we become offended with, and we think it's not with him, but it actually is. I mean, you got to get this. It's because this is so powerful. Now, if you go to Matthew says this, 24 and 10, and then many will be offended and will betray and will hate one another. That word betray means to cast, means to be against. It also means to be a pretender. To act one way, but in your heart, you're a totally different person and you talk totally different. It means to lead astray. It means to seduce. This word betray. And it also means to deliver somebody to the enemy. I mean, this is so powerful. This spirit is so powerful. Many times it's overlooked. Verse 11 says, then many false. This word false means intentionally untrue people. That's what false means. It means they have the heart to mislead. It'll get softer as we get in it, okay? And he says this, so many false prophets. It's interesting here that in the Aramaic and Greek, prophets here is not translated as prophet. It's actually translated as religious imposters. Because false prophet is one statement. And you need to know this. Every one of us has a prophetic ability. Whether you want to acknowledge it or not, you get to declare prophetically things over your own life, over the lives around you, over your spouse's wife, over your kids' life, over your jobs, over your bosses, over your spiritual leaders, who you hang out with, who you spend time with. Every time you speak death, you are prophetically uttering something. If you're speaking life, you are prophetically uttering. You're uttering something that has power to it. It's creative in its aspect. And I just begin to study this, and there's a lot in this verse I've never really caught. And he says, so many false prophets will rise up and deceive. They will validate what's false. That's what deceives mean. That would be somebody coming to me about something about Noah, and then me taking that thing and taking it to Brian and validating it without even knowing whether it's true. And even if it was true, my job is not to validate it. Right? So that's what he's talking about here. They will validate what is false. Many will. And because lawlessness, unrestrained, unruly, can't submit to leadership or truth, people, that's what lawlessness is, will abound. Now watch this, because we start it with what? The foundation of what? That's it. Thank you, Jay. You're awesome. Now notice this is, Jesus is saying all of this, and then he says this, the love of many will what? In order for us to really walk, we have to protect this. Solomon said, above all that you guard. Guard what? Your heart. Cardia. It's the word for mind. As a man thinketh in his heart, so is he. And so the Lord began to just kind of deal with me about this subject of offense. Have you ever had those real super spiritual talks with God and the Holy Spirit, and you remind them how spiritually incredible you are? And how you say, Lord, I don't have any offenses. I'm not offended at anybody or anything. What if we carry offense and we don't realize it, or we've given it another name to accept it? Like sin. Right? Think about it. Wrongdoing, misdeed, misdemeanor. Right? And then all of a sudden we judge, we condemn people because we carry these offenses. And so I'm one of those guys, you know, I'm so scripture driven that, you know, I read all these verses. Okay, Lord, I go through the motions of the prayer. Father, I just forgive them. I bless them. It's just like poison coming out of my mouth. It's like sour vinegar. I bless those that curse me. Ugh. Yuck. Pray for those that despitefully use me. We say the prayer, But I don't know that we just experienced the transformation. I'm talking about myself. And so here's what the Lord said to me one day. He said, you need to understand the result of unforgiveness in your life. Because sometimes we don't see the seriousness of the stuff that we carry that we think is so weak and so small, but it's the little leaven. And it's the little foxes. You know why they're called little foxes? Not because they're good looking. It's because a fox can get in a hole that'll blow your mind and kill a chicken. They're just great at it. They'll get in a bird feeder if they can. And I've seen them, these big birds, they'll get in a bird feeder and take a bird, man. These little foxes, they spoil the vine. In other words, they spoil your harvest. They spoil your seed. And it actually affects our own forgiveness, how we receive forgiveness. So several months ago, I was sitting down and this thought hit me, and I think it was the Holy Spirit, and he said this, can you afford to shut down God's power of forgiveness in your life? Because I think, well, that's, you know, immediately I go to this place, watch. Well, that's not God. He said, no, it's not that God won't forgive you. It's that you shut down the power of forgiveness. You shut it down. Not from God's end. God hasn't closed the door. He's the one knocking. We're the ones answering. And sometimes we don't recognize the choices that we make and the effect that they have on us. So Jesus makes this statement in Matthew 6 and 15. But if you do not forgive men their trespasses, neither will your Father forgive your trespasses. That's a big statement. He's not saying I'm unforgiving. He's always forgiving. He's saying you've created this result because of this spirit of offense. And this word forgive here means reversal or completion. It's not the normal forgive word that says, you know, have another thought, turn around and go the opposite way. It means reversal, but it means completion. What happens is now you're messing with who you're completely meant to be because of your unforgiveness, your trespass. And the trespass word here actually means the word offense. We always label trespass as sin, and offense is a sin. But this word here in this verse is actually labeled as offense, faults, errors, or to fall. And I went through this whole thing for a month. God just, Holy Spirit, just digging and just like, and I'm telling you, I'm not the type of person where I go, I don't like this. I'm like, I got to a place where I just said, hey, you know, if you get a splinter, at first it's bad, and you get to a point where you just say to the doctor, just dig it out. It only hurt for a minute. Just get it out. I'm sick of you, you know, playing with a little pair of tweezers. Cut it, dig it out, get rid of it. You know, we were growing up, you know, I grew in a small town. If you got a toothache, you used to have to wait 2 or 3 days to get the dentist. You get to the point with the toothache, you just say to your parents, just pull it out. Or you dig it out yourself. Or you tie a string to a piano and throw it out the top window. However it is you got rid of it, right? So offense is so real. And let's be real, just for a moment. There's a lot in our lives that the Father could be offended at. But he chooses forgiveness. There's a lot in my life that he could really be offended at, but he chooses love. God is never an unforgiving father. No, he's never that. We're the only ones who can rob ourselves of the freedom that offense takes from us when we do not take the right and the act and the submit our wills to a place of forgiveness. And that's really hard. And I've processed that for months. I'm going to talk a little bit how we do that, how we walk that out. So let me talk about offense first. This is the Webster Dictionary of Offense. The Webster says offense is the act of attacking, to breach a moral or social code. It means sin, a misdeed, or a stumbling block. And one of the easiest ways to recognize offense in a person's life is to listen how they talk about other people, especially people that have offended them. or offense that they've picked up from somebody else that actually didn't even offend them. Have you ever been offended at somebody you didn't know? Because somebody said, you know, my boss. You're like, your boss is, he just is. Right? You ever been offended at some preacher you didn't know? You know, it's almost impossible for you to offend my kids and not offend me, right? Right? Blood's thicker than what? Moonshine, right? It's almost impossible. This is one of those subjects. I think this is one of the great tools that the enemy constantly uses in our life because it throws us off because many times we justify it and we give it permission to not only be there, but stay there and dig its tentacles or whatever deep into our very being, our souls and our hearts. And sometimes you think you're over with, you're okay with it, but then you run into that person that you were offended at a year ago and guess what happens? Offense shows up, right? Listen to the word in the Greek. This is it. Because this, I love the Greek translation of this word because it flips it. It's not just what it does to you, it's what it does to others. The Greek says to entice others to sin as well. To entrap, to cause others to stumble, to cause others to be tripped up. To make others offend, sin, by picking up your or their offense. The root word, listen to the root word of this word, offense in the Greek. Listen to this. To become a stumbling block, to be the snare, to be the occasion to fall. Listen to the last one. To bow to a spirit. Wow. You know there's a spirit of fear, right? You know there's a spirit of offense, right? Offense is a demonic entity that entices you and seduces you into not releasing forgiveness, grace, mercy, kindness, and goodness. Offense is a part of a false prophet's identity, according to Matthew 24 and 12. They say what they're saying is from God, but it's not true. And how you know is it divides and scatters. I'll be honest with you. Since I've been saved, it's been, you know, a long time. I'm not going to tell you how long, but it's been a long time. I've had more offense in the church than I had in the world. Anybody know what I'm talking about? Right? Any of y'all been offended at leaders? Yeah, two of us? Okay. Let me ask you this. Any of y'all ever been bitten by sheep? That's pretty painful. Right? So we walk through this journey of offense. And offense is a hindrance to your experience with love. It is actually the foundation and the seed place for hate, bitterness, hurt, disconnection, and disunity. It is that powerful. When you pick up offense towards God or other people, it causes you and it leads you into this place because they may not be meeting your idea of what should be done and you may not be giving them your approval. And it's not only an attack on sheep, it is actually an attack on shepherds. Now, let me just say this. Because we're in the kingdom, and I'm going to give you a scripture in a moment. Because we're in the kingdom, and because you have Jesus inside of you, when I become offended at you, I become offended at the one within you. If I become offended at Brian because the drums were too loud, I'm offended at that creator that's in him, that's given him that ability, that talent, that gifting. See, this offense can be hid. It's so subtle. It's subtle, but it really exposes itself very quickly. Matthew 14, 27. And Jesus said unto them, all ye shall be offended because of me this night, for it is written, I will smite the shepherd and the sheep will be scattered. They were offended. Jesus said, like, what are you going to be offended? Well, listen, you didn't tell us the truth. You were supposed to raise up an army and we were supposed to take Rome on and we were supposed to be victorious. I'm thinking Jesus is probably saying, I told you over and over again that I was going to be going away, that I was going to be laid down, that a seed had to go into the ground and die in order for the fruit of that seed to come forth. And Jesus said, go, even though they didn't catch it. I mean, you got to process. Why would Jesus say this to his disciples? You're all going to be offended at me. It's such a subtle thing. We get offended if the worship's too long, if the music's too loud, if the preaching's too long, if the service is too long. We've got all these things we try to navigate through, right? We get offended if somebody runs and shouts, if somebody lays down, if somebody sits up, if somebody falls to the floor. We've got these built-in triggers within us because we've got this preconceived idea of what the presence and the church and worship and the word should look like. And when it doesn't fit into what we approve, we get offended. And defense will make you make decisions that will actually disconnect you from the goodness, the forgiveness, the love, the purpose, and the destiny that God has for you. It's true. I've seen it happen. That word scatter in Mark 14, 27 means to separate or cause to waste, dissipate. That means to drive off or to break up. I've learned this. I can get offended at God and not even see it, and not even realize that's who I'm offended at. If I think I'm offended at Brian or Noah, I'm not offended at God. I'm mistaken. The shepherd and the sheep. I'm a shepherd. I'm a shepherd of my family. I'm a spiritual leader of my home. My children. Think about it. We define things sometimes, and this happens a lot of times when we get offended and we don't even realize the magnitude of what it looks like. And what happens is that's when the solid foundation of God's love and all of his goodness begins to be attacked in your life. Have you ever watched somebody that's offended? They just keep going into a deeper place of negativity, a deeper place of offense. And they end up going in the opposite direction of the Father's heart towards us. Now, I didn't get online and say, so-and-so's a butthead, like nothing like that, right? Even though I felt it, right? You know what I'm talking about? But listen, do we allow the fence within family to be spoken and be carried? Do we feed offense within our inner circle because we've justified that because who I'm with, it's okay? No, it's not offense, Pastor. It's concern. If it's concern, you should be saying to each other, let's just get down and pray for so-and-so. Now, I'm not giving you something I'm not dealt with. This has been an issue with me the last couple of years, right? And we begin to actually question God. What are you doing? Why are you allowing this to happen? We blame God for something the devil's doing. That must be frustrating. You know what that means? You're actually offended at God. Why'd you bring me here? I thought you said. Now, you know when the disciples all scattered, they probably sat around and went, what the heck's going on? Was he the Messiah or was he not the Messiah? Should we go tarry? Should we wait? What are we doing? They were so gripped with fear because they were so offended in the situation they were in. And we can get to a place of even blaming God and others for our trial. Right? But wouldn't it have been for Noah? This wouldn't be happening right now. It wouldn't have been for Darlene. If she would just learn. You know what I'm talking about? We begin to judge others around us, judge God, we judge God's heart towards us. And here's the big deception. We even begin to accept it as God's purpose in our life to teach us something. We're so spiritual. I'd be really disappointed if God brought trials, tests, punishment, offense, negativity, and bad encounters to teach me something. It's just my thinking. I hear people say, hey, God put me through this test the other day. What was it, like A, B, C, D, the alphabet test? Because God doesn't do that. You may say, well, he tests us. Listen, our trials test us, but they're not from God. Doesn't say he takes what God meant for bad and turn it to our good. Is that what he says? He says he takes what the enemy intended for evil. The trials we face, they're both demonic and flesh-wise because of the fall. No more than you could say God gave me cancer to develop my faith. That's terrible. Who wants a father like that? I'm pushing out in front of a car so you feel, you know what it feels like, so you stay off the road. It just doesn't make sense. But yet, we do it. That God's wanting to teach us some profound truth. And we even use offense to say, well, God must be using this to disconnect me from Will. Come on, right? You trash talk, you gossip, you get offended at somebody, and instantly you say, God's disconnecting me. But the reality is you're disconnecting yourself because you've allowed a spirit of offense in your life. I'm telling you, you have to process this. So offense keeps us from navigating through life's tough situation. It holds us captive. And the sad thing is it invites others to join us in that place of captivity. Think about it. If I'm offended and say something to Doug, what I'm actually doing it, and if you don't catch it, if you're not cut your guard up, if you're not listening to the Holy Spirit, what I'm doing is I'm saying I'm trapped by offense. I'm sharing my offense with you so you can accept it, so you can be trapped with me, so we can be trapped together, and woe is us. This is a really good message. How does he do that? He's a deceiving spirit. Robs you of divine appointments with God. It robs you of your purpose. It robs you of your destiny. It robs you of your maturity. And it eventually isolates you. It makes you feel like everyone's disconnected when actually the truth is you have disconnected yourself. Something negative has happened in your heart and you've isolated yourself. Woe is me. You've gone into orphan spirit, mind of victim mentality, and you've entered this place that is so unhealthy. That you just spurt poison out. No one likes to do the journey of offense alone. You know why? Because we need someone to justify our offense. Man, it's quiet. I love this. This is so fun. Isn't this fun? Right? It's true. So we talk about the mind. We talk about offense. And we're all going to have negative thoughts. Listen to me. We've all had negative thoughts. We're all going to be given a chance to offend. Now listen to me. But we get to choose offense. In and of itself, what goes on up in here is powerful, but it's not really that powerful. Let me tell you when it becomes powerful. The Bible does not say that life and death is in the power of the thought or offense. It says that life and death is in the power of our tongue. When you allow what's up here, this is the soil, to begin to be transferred here, and you begin to make an agreement with your mouth, what you do at that point is you are actually throwing seed. You're setting a standard for what the harvest of offense brings to your life. Right? It takes words. It takes words. The devil needs agreement. Let me say it again. The devil needs agreement. Life and death, Proverbs tells us, is in the power of the tongue, and you will eat the fruit of whatever that looks like. Matthew 12 and 36, the Message Bible says this: an evil person is a blight, that means disease, injury, death, to the orchard. Now I want you to listen to the word, because I'm going to talk to you about something in a minute here. To the orchard. And then he says, let me tell you something. Every one of these careless words is going to come back to haunt you. There will be a time of reckoning. Words are powerful. Take them seriously. Words can be your salvation or words can be your damnation. Do you realize how strong that verse is in the Message Bible? Damnation is deserving to be condemned. Now listen to this. And we take these verses and we make like God's doing something. I get to position myself and choose the fruit that I live in. I get to position myself in my marriage for it to be a blessing or to be tough. I can shut off. I can disconnect. I can give in to some other things that's not promoting the blessing on my covenant and then blame it on my wife when reality is, I have responsibility in my covenant. My wife has responsibility in this covenant. And we can even become offended so bad at our spouses that we think we can have an unhealthy covenant here, but have a healthy covenant here. I don't care where offense is. Offense is never to be allowed or permitted in your life. He says, every one of these careless words, that means unconcerned or unvalued words. You know what I've learned over the last 3 years? I need to be concerned what's coming out of my mouth. I need to determine whether they carry value or they carry unvalue. And I'm not saying I go around like this creepy guy that's in, you know, like a ninja or something, being careful of everything I do. And it's not like that. I've asked the Holy Spirit to join me in this struggle that is so, listen, you want to be offended really easy? Watch the news. Listen to two guys talk about politics. Right? Just look and watch at all the spiritual leaders that have failed. Bless them. God, we pray for them. But most of us just get offended. Think about it. It's almost like we glory in it. Oh, good. The guy with the big church has failed. Makes me feel good about my small church. I mean, it's crazy, but we do it. And offense is the easiest spirit. Listen to this. You got to get this. It's the easiest spirit to be transferred in your life. So I'm gonna need Levi, and I'm gonna need Cameron. Where is he? Come here, Cameron, I need you. Come up, Levi, come quick. Come up, I'm sorry, I know it. I'm calling Cameron because Chris Dupre called him that last weekend. Come on, Carson, come on up. Had to wake him up. The anointing was so heavy, he just fell out in the spirit on the chair. Did you see that? So I want you guys to stand right here because you're on camera. There's 10,000 people watching. You wanna do a plug for your, Instagram or anything while you're up here? So stay here. I'm going to give you an example of these two young guys. I could have called somebody older, but these steps are horrendous. I'm going to tell you to do something, okay? I'm going to give you something. So here's what happens. Levi and Carson are friends. Carson's been offended. So here's what happened. You stay right there, Carson. So Carson's been offended. Hold that in your hands. Okay? You've been offended. Carson says to Levi, "You're not going to believe what happened to me." And Levi goes, "What?" Right then, a door has been opened. And Carson says, "My dad
got me a 25-pound dumbbell."
There you go. And Levi goes, "That's terrible. Watch this." Without even realizing, a spirit comes up to Levi, holding your hands up, Levi, and goes, right? So Levi now is offended at dad. So Levi says to Doug, "You're not going to believe what happened." And that repetitious spirit does this. Another weight is brought and put in Levi's hands. And then Carson goes over here and tells Brian, "You're not going to believe what my dad did." And so another weight gets handed off to Brian. Go ahead, Brian. I know it's 5 pounds. You only have a hard time with it, but just hold on to it. Another weight gets over and get laid. Carson. Brian tells somebody, "Watch this." Another weight gets handed off to Brian because he's already got one. But watch this. The source, without even realizing it, gets another weight. So hold my Bible. Now watch this. Offense, watch. Are you okay? We're going to be up here 20 minutes. Offense. Watch this now. I want you to see this. Offense has created a burden. But it's not God's burden, is it? Right? And offense is not light. It's what?
Heavy.
Yeah, so it's not God's light, right? You want me to take a couple?
Yes.
You want a couple? Okay, I thought you'd be strong. Let me take these two off. Here's the thing. Watch this. How hard is it to function when you've got this burden? When this is what your yoke looks like. When you're yoked to this. You get this, right? This is you become yoked to this. This becomes your identity now. You think you're hiding it. But everywhere you go now, because you've spoken out of a thought or a process of offense, everywhere you go now, it's noticeable. I'm going to take a couple more and put on you, a couple just to show you how hard this is. You ready? No, I'm not going to do it. I'm not going to do it. Can you handle it, Levi?
Yeah.
I'm going to show you. Watch this. So Levi has been talking to everybody. He's taking it. Okay. He's taking it on himself. Listen. He's taking it on himself because now, listen, this deception, this deceiving spirit has actually become truth for them. And listen to this. Even if it's truth and they've dealt with it wrong, it's still offense. Right? Now listen to this. Your truth does not make his truth void. However you think about offense and what it looks like. Whatever right you think you have to carry this. You guys had enough?
Yeah.
Give me your weight. Go over there and put that one, those ones down, Levi. Can you walk over there without killing yourself? Thank you, Cameron. I got it. So listen to this. This is Matthew. Did you get it? How easy is that? And the thing is, It's without you knowing it. It happens without you even knowing it. It's like Brian comes to me and says something about somebody, and without knowing, I go, oh, it's grieved my spirit. And we even think because we do it with our spouse, it's okay. We do it with our close friends, it's okay. But the deception is we've allowed something into our lives that has now become a burden, and we become yoked to something. Let me read the scripture. Matthew 11:30, Amplified Bible says, my yoke is wholesome. Means easy. Means gracious, kind, and better. It says, my yoke is easy, useful, good, not harsh, hard, sharp, or pressing, but comfortable, gracious, and pleasant. My burden is light and easy to be borne. Now, I want you to see this. When Jesus says, he says this, my yoke, my burden, what are you allowing in you and on you that's not from him? That doesn't look anything like his yoke. Doesn't look anything like his burden. See, this word yoke is it's called the beam of balance for two ox that plow the field. Ox have been bred for this purpose. It's their destiny. Them being in sync with that yoke connected to them is the very thing that keeps them straight, that plows the soil so that the seed can be harvested. If you get an ox that gets some kind of a brain disease, if he gets black tongue and all these things that species were susceptible back then, what happens is that one ox will constantly fight that other ox. They'll be in disagreement, and the field looks horrendous. They're this way and that way and this way, to the point where the farmer can't even throw good seed to produce a good harvest. When we live in offense in the body of Christ, what happens is the plow and the field and what we're intended to do and our very purpose and the intentions of our life gets off. And what happens is the harvest field looks terrible. There may be some fruit, but there's thorn bushes and there's weeds and there's tares and there's all this stuff. And its sole purpose is to disconnect, cause division, cause disunity. And it may be okay because we approve of it. Those people that are dealing with it approve of it. But reality is the world looks at the church and says, that's a joke. Why would I get saved and have some of that? I've already got lots of that. Yoke. Plow the field for planting the seed, to walk side by side with the same purpose. They're driven because of their unity. They're driven because of what they've been created. If we allow ourselves, it's okay to disagree, but we cannot disagree and have offense. We cannot disagree and carry negativity. Why? Because it makes the mission really, really hard. It makes what we're called to really, really hard. And it causes way more damage than what we see on the surface. And I say this, and I'm not insulting any of us. I'd rather have a church of 20 in unity going after God than having 300 in total disunity and disconnected. You could do more with 12 people on the same page planting a field than you can do with 100 that want to do their own thing. And this is the sneaky little spirit that has snuck in. And the burden word here just simply means your task. It means what you're called to do, your service. Now listen to this. Only what operates in the demonic becomes a burden. You need to hear me. This is so powerful. Because this is a spirit, only what operates in the demonic becomes a burden. This word burden on the negative means to oppress. It means to be heavy. And you can tell when you have it because you always have to defend it. You always have to have somebody in agreement with you that there's a reason why you should be offended. There's a reason why you're talking the way you're talking. There's a reason why you're judging the way you're judging. There's a reason why you're condemning the way you're condemning. I love it when a bunch of us preachers get together and do this and call it concern for the church and the sheep. So we talk about the goats and the wolves. And I'm not saying there is a proper way to deal. We're going to be offended. The word light here is easy. Listen to this. I love this word light. He said, my yoke is easy, my burden is light. This word light, listen to this, means to be moved by the wind. We're to be moved by the Holy Spirit. If it's not light, it's another spirit. I can tell. I've been in ministry long enough that when I hear somebody talk, instantly my spirit man grieves if I know and recognize the spirit it's coming from. We need the gift of discernment in this day, not to be mean to people, but to steer people in the right way when they come with issues of offense. Listen to this. This is Galatians 5:22. Talking about the Spirit. But when the Holy Spirit comes or controls our lives, he will produce this kind of fruit in us. Love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. And here there is no conflict with Jewish laws. Let me tell you this. When it's saying Jewish laws here, we make this look like Old Testament principles that no longer have value. Here's what the writers of Galatians is saying. He said, listen, this has been a truth since the very time Jewish laws were created. And there's still a truth today. It's actually such a strong principle. So what fruit does a spirit that's not connected, if you were to look at this verse, that's not connected to the Holy Spirit in your life, and it was another spirit. Let's look at the opposite of all these: love, joy, peace, patience. You ready? Hate, bitterness, resentment, sorrow, misery, despair, unhappiness, fear, impatience, no grace, meanness, bad, unfaithfulness, harsh, inconsiderate, undisciplined, fault-finding, unhealthy indulgence. And it conflicts with everything that has anything to do with truth by their actions. This is so strong. It's so strong what the revelation is. The key element to this, we begin with negativity. We talked about the mind and the mouth. Listen to this. Your mouth is a loaded gun. Offense is the bullet. Negative is the bullet. When you speak it, you're squeezing the trigger. It brings death. I'm really, 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 really trying to learn how to listen better. You know, preachers love to talk. We like talk. Anywhere we like, I don't know if you've ever been around preachers, they like to dominate the conversation. You bring up something spiritual. Oh, I was reading the other day, got this 12-page revelation. Do you mind if I share it? I know we're in community and we only got 2 minutes apiece, but I got this serious revelation. I really like to share it with you. And I'm not being mean, but when people that are spiritual, they like to reveal what the Spirit gives them. Why? Because it brings them life. And God says the big deal is not this. It is your mouth. It's your mouth. It's whatever and whenever you translate something from a negative and an offense into words that you choose to speak. Here's the exciting thing I love about this. You get to choose the outcome. And that's so powerful. How we deal with the disappointments of today will determine the fruit we have tomorrow. You know that, right? That's what the Lord began to me. He said, you know what he said to me about back in 2019 and 2020? He said, how you're responding today is producing the fruit you're eating for breakfast tomorrow. And you know I don't look like I eat fruit for breakfast, right? You know I'm a biscuits and gravy guy, right? Toast, eggs, ham, cheese, biscuits, all it's all good. You know, the Antichrist down the road, Chick-fil-A, we all get Chick-fil-A biscuits every, you know, not Sunday, but every other day of the week, right? My heart, once again, is the soil. My words, once again, disperse the seeds. I've even got to the place where I've had intellectual offenses with God that I justify somehow. Even though it wasn't connected to the proper heart of the Father towards one another. I've trusted my own guidance versus the Holy Spirit. And it leads me into developed language that leads me away from the heart of the Father. It leads me away from the fruit of the Spirit. Let me tell you this, the only weapon, the greatest weapon you have against the fruit of the Spirit, against negativity, against offense, against speaking death is the fruit of the Spirit. Listen, I am convinced it's the most powerful thing in the kingdom, even more powerful than the gifts. If you don't have the fruit of the Spirit and you're mega gifted, great. But eventually, you're going to need the fruit of the Spirit. You're going to have to get to a place where you start to function in this. You're going to have to start learning to respond from love. It's hard. I'm being honest, it's hard to always respond from love. That's why there has to be this shift. And here's the cool thing. If you have the Holy Spirit, you have the fruit of the Spirit already. You're not having to call on anything. You already have it. You just have to activate it. Listen to Luke 7:23, and I'm about to close. And blessed, happy, with life, joy, and satisfaction in God's favor and salvation, apart from outward conditions and to be envied, is he who takes no offense in me, who is not hurt, resentful, annoyed, repelled, or made to stumble no matter what occurs. It just covers it all. And the word offense in this verse means to entice someone else, to entrap someone, to trip someone up, to offend someone, to snare someone, to be a stumbling block to someone. It's always about the other person. Why? Because Jesus wants offense to end with you. Jesus makes this statement. It's the most unrated statement there is. Listen to me. It's the most unrated statement there is. He says this, anyone who causes any one of these little ones to stumble, it would have been better for him. You know the scripture? Why would he give such a harsh statement? To show us the value of functioning according to the right spirit. Of being life givers. Now listen to this. You never ever in the kingdom have the right to be wounded. You have the right to be healed. But you don't have the right to be wounded. You never ever in the kingdom have the right to be offended, but you do have the right to forgive. Are you hearing me? You never have the right to be offended, but you always have the right to forgive. And I don't know why we want to live in the opposite rights that we have that are opposite of the rights of our identity. We have got to start surrendering our identity to offense and negativity and death words and curses and all the things that somehow during this great isolation, the COVID, the political arena, everything we've heard for months has been negative, and there's been prophecies out of that. And I'm not saying I don't agree with prophets. I'm just saying there's been this plague of stuff that's created offense. Here's a really good trick question. You want a really good trick question? How many of you in this house pray for Biden every day? Oh, don't go there, preacher. You know what Biden's done? He's a devil. I don't believe he's the devil. He's being influenced by something, maybe the devil. But he's got a soul. This whole, and I'm only giving you half. We create theologies that are in no way connected to the heart of the Father. You get that right? We actually create theologies that leave us powerless. Like, I don't have a choice. That's a scary theology. To think that I cannot not choose sin. I cannot not choose offense. Right? Now you know and I know. If we really knew who we were, we'd have been going through the city, laying hands on people with COVID, and they'd be being healed. Now, don't get too crazy, preacher. Think Jesus knew who he was? Huh? I used to think when that word came, this is my beloved son in whom I'm well pleased, because Jesus was struggling with his identity. That was for us, because we're his sons and daughters in whom he's well pleased. That's what it looks like to be a son of God. So I want you to stand. Go ahead and stand. You okay?
Yes, sir.
All right. I want to give you one verse here I thought was so powerful. You want to do a really good study and really see the heart of God? Study the names of God. I had this thought. This is just a thought before I read this to you. It's just a thought I had the other day. The Lord said, so when you hear something, are you giving your peace or are you giving your peace? Let me say it again. When you hear something, are you giving your peace or are you giving his peace? Let me say it one more time for those of you that are still like this. When you, don't make me come down there. Listen, when you hear gossip, when you hear trash, when you hear stuff, even if it's truth, just the way it's being delivered, if they haven't gone to that person right off the bat, is wrong. Are you giving your peace or are you giving his peace? I said, you're so kind, Holy Spirit. For about a year and a half, and you know, there was this part of me that was like really heavy. It was like, just to push the energy to walk in giftings and walk in callings. And I think anybody that's called has been feeling that just, and I would just go before the Lord and I would say, Lord, I don't understand, like, what's going on here? What's going on here? About 4 months ago, I was just preparing some of the stuff, the later stuff. It was the good stuff. God was pouring in me the good stuff. And he kind of did a reverse for me. And I was sitting on my sofa one morning, and the Lord said this, you have offense. I began to argue with him. I don't have offense, Father. God, I've been praying for these people, blessing for these people. He says, what's that look like when you see them? Some of you may not be casting stones, but you're carrying them. Carrying a stone that you're not going to cast is still carrying the stone that you were going to cast. Fill your pockets full of rocks. See how that works out for you. We're called to celebrate people. Why do we always take our right to destroy when we could be healing? To wound when we could be restoring? Why don't we take the right to bring the right fruit to the party? I'm going to ask our altar team to come, and we're going to do some ministry, and I'm going to do something a little different tonight. I want to give you this one verse. This is a verse I wanted to really give you. Proverbs 19:11. This is the English Standard Version. Makes this statement. Good sense makes a man restrain his anger. it is his glory to overlook transgression or offense. You want to take several months and unpack a verse? Unpack this verse. There's so much here, I can't even begin it, but I want to give you this. This statement, it is his glory. It means an ornament he wears that is beautiful, honorable, majestic, and full of majesty. It is actually the word here for branch. For branch. Because he's talking about the fruit of your life. There's one word that I read this week on goodness. You know, one of the words for goodness in the Hebrew means to shake the tree. I said, what's that even mean? It says your whole life is always about fruit. And you get to choose, because I am the vine and you are the branches. You get to choose the fruit that falls from your life. What does that fruit look like? So we're going to gather tonight, or you, if you have to leave, see ya. Love ya. But I want to say a prayer over you. I want us all to come. And these, I'm going to let these guys minister in a moment. But I want you to come forth if you've ever dealt with offense. I want you to come forth. I want to just pray a prayer with you. And you're actually going to say this prayer. Okay? Don't all respond at once. Just step out. Come on up here. Just come up here. Just gather around with me. The only true right that you have. Let me just say this. The only true right that you have. This is the only true right you have. Is to operate in the fruit of the Spirit. That's the only true right. Nothing else is right. You get that, right? Get in close. It's all right. It's not like a prayer where you're gonna, you know, we may do some exorcisms. I don't know. We'll see how this goes. I was saying last week, the Lord caught me after I was done this year. I said, God, that guy makes me so angry. The Lord said, nobody can make you angry. You get to choose it. You realize that, right? Nobody can make you offended. You get to choose it. Right? So this is the prayer. Let me get it up here. I think we have it. Is it up there? Okay. So we're going to read it. We're going to read it out loud until we get to that spot where you see the little line. Because I don't want to hear your grandma's name. All right. But when we get to that little line, I want you to just stop for a moment, and I want you to allow the Holy Spirit to process some stuff in your life. Because listen to this, I just be honest. We've all been offended. Children, mothers, fathers, bosses, spiritual leaders, friends, brothers, you know, cousins. We've all had some kind of offense. Some of us are still living with the scars of disappointments that we have in people. Aren't you sick of carrying that yet? Blaming somebody else for where you are, when really you get to choose where you are. It's called offense. Yeah. So, look at the screen. Ready? Read it with me. Father, in the name of Jesus, I have seen in your word that I have to let offenses go. Your word says that I must forgive those who have hurt me because you forgave me. I repent of this and ask for your forgiveness. Therefore, as an act of my will, I choose to forgive. As the Heavenly Father has freely forgiven me of my sins, I freely forgive. And just close your eyes. The Holy Spirit all over this house. Just reveal our hearts. Let him go deep. Holy Spirit, go deep into our lives. release who, release whatever. Even the small things. Lord, we give disappointments to you now. Remove discouragement. Take the weight. We exchange it for your burden, your yoke. Fathers and mothers, we release them. Brothers and sisters, uncles and aunts and relatives, spiritual leaders, bosses, other employees, friends. Come on, let's finish it. I freely forgive. For the injustice I feel they have done unto me, I forgive them. Say it. I release them. I let it go. Now forgive me for any offenses I carry or seeds I have sown to create offense. Now just stop here for a moment. Close your eyes. Sometimes the Holy Spirit will highlight something that you didn't recognize that was there. It's his way of unveiling something that's hidden in your life. And just give that to him. Don't overthink it. Just give it to him. Don't have conversations with it. Just give it to him. So I just release it to you. Now let's finish this from I receive. I receive your forgiveness now. And I choose to operate in the fruit of the Spirit. The sin has been paid in Jesus' name. According to your word, I am free. I am free. I declare that I am free in Jesus' name. Come on, just lift your hands for a moment.